Hamafilas amidos hu amatzav hachitzoni, kol matzav olu la'orer bekirbenu midos misuyamos, im niskaras hamatzav, lifnei higiyanu elav, obi matzana betocho, v'nishar, ezu mida yuchol, is arba matzav kazeh, noide vados, ki oysa mida paelas bekirbenu, as af imlo navchim baklal. Nakat klala b'yadcha, midoy sheyachol es ora be'ezem matziv, harei hi misayreres bevadai. V'chol ma'isa shenasev, also ma'isav no'veya mitoch amdahahi. What Revolbi is saying to us, which is pasha to us who've been working on this for so long, is it's not people blame the situation. All the time people say, if it would just be different, then I wouldn't have reacted that way. And they blame their reactions on people. And on situations, so many shalom bias problems today because people look and they say, if she would be different, or if he would be different, then I would not react that way. And Rav Volpe is telling us, no, it's not bechalal that way. That's not what's going on at all. A person has a midah, and the midah is being awakened in certain situations. So adarabba, the situation for a sinful person who's working on his midos is an opportunity to be able to reflect and understand, this is what's going on. Obviously, ideally, like he says, lifnei. Ideally, as you're coming into it, before you can almost see it happening. You could see it happening. I had a husband that came to me, and we were working together on these issues, and he told me an unbelievable story. He said that he was getting into a situation where normally he would lose his cool in his house. And things were flying, things were very, very hectic, and he said to his wife, he said, if you could just give me a little bit of space right now, because otherwise I'm afraid I'm going to, otherwise I would regret, because you know that sometimes the kids are flying, everything is nuts. So his wife came back to him later that night, and she said, I want you to know, I respect so much, not that you didn't lose your cool, okay, Baruch Hashem, you didn't lose your cool, but that you were so, that you were mindful enough to say to me, if I could just have some space right now. That's the real yusoid. And you see that it works when a person is mindful and they can say what they need and they can say, this is a situation that's bringing out certain midos inside of me. And this guy himself, he was understanding, I'm not going to be in control. I need to change the mido, you know, the situation a little bit. That's a very healthy, positive thing. The truth of the matter is that if you go even a little, believable paradox emerges. Lamashal, you know, when anything happens to us, as Rav Volpe mentioned earlier, a person can have one of two responses. Either, let's say a person sees a flaw in another person. So either, Rav Volpe doesn't mention the first part, he mentions the second part. Either a person could say, it must be that I'm seeing that in order to help that person. Lamashal, like certain rebbeim, they could talk to a guy, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. All of a sudden, another Rebbe comes and says the same exact thing to the same exact guy, and all of a sudden it works. What changed? Nothing. Nothing changed. Certain people are mesugal in certain situations because their Rebbeinu Shlom Dafka wanted them, and they're the only person that could help that other person. So sometimes when a Jew sees another Jew, yeah, and he's been given an opportunity to help that person. It doesn't necessarily mean in Musar, but sometimes it just means a little bit Hisiris, Bederech Eitza, sometimes just a listening ear. I saw once somebody said, found, lost Jew. It was a title for a Kiru seminar. Found, lost Jew. And he said, every encounter with another Jew is an opportunity. Sometimes the opportunity is for them. Our immediate reaction, however, is not that way. Our immediate reaction is when anything happens, it's happening for us. So therefore, if I see a flaw in another person, it's really the revelation of that flaw in myself, and now it gives me the opportunity to work on myself. Now, it could be that that flaw that I'm seeing in the other person is directed towards me. So, Lamashal, let's say I see another person's kas, and that kas is directed towards me. So our immediate reaction must be, it must be that this is happening to me in order that I should be able to introspect and see my own issue with this. So what comes out is something incredible. I have to have hakaras hatov to the person that's attacking me. That's a very high madrega. But could you imagine how many shalom bias problems would be solved if each one of the couples had, each one of the partners, I should say, had this had this reaction. Imagine a husband, his wife says something to him that he doesn't like. Imagine if his response was, this opportunity to reflect on something that's going on inside of me, and therefore I have to have hakaras hatov to my wife, the woman who just spoke to me in a way that I didn't like. Imagine, it would be an unbelievable thing. Nobody would ever get into a fight with their wife. I don't know what type of marriage that would be even. You know, like imagine a person not getting into a fight with their wife. I had a Rebbe once who was Masada Kedushin at a wedding, two of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. Real, real tzaddikim. And I remember he looked at me right before the chuppah and he goes, doesn't it disgust you that you know that these people are never going to fight? You know, he's like one of those, like, I remember, like, Rebbe, it's like 2 minutes before the chuppah. You know, like, it's one of those types of rebellion. But,
Arush writes it. Yeah. In Ghana Shalom. That this idea that your wife is sort of a reflection of you.
Yes, and specifically the wife.
Specifically
yeah.
Your wife. Exactly.
Specifically the wife.
Usually your wife knows exactly what's going on.
That's right. That's right. The wife, the best barometer of how you're doing is your wife.
I had he has like a theory that that's a person's tikkun derech. Whatever button is that your wife pushes all the time.
That's your tikkun.
That's it. That's the original way of getting it in your face all the time. If you don't know, you need to work on this. Hello, what are you here for?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. And in the summer, I was listening to Shirim from Shiva of Arav Ram. I was giving Shirim in the Ezras Nasham of Pnei Shmuel. Wild stuff. Real gain in Hashkafa. He was doing stuff dafka on marriage. And he was saying, I think it's a very important point, he was mamish saying exactly what we're saying right now. He said, your wife is designed to be a reflection of you. So you can have no tainas on her. Whatever she does, she's doing it. You'll say she's pushing my buttons. She's mamish. She's raking me over the coals. I'm saying, so that's awesome. Now that doesn't mean that the appropriate response is to just take the musr and not do anything. Sometimes the appropriate response is to take the musr and therefore to deal with the situation appropriately. But if a person walked around, imagine a person could stay in business. Things happen in business all the time. People lose partnerships that have been going for 30, 40 years. Over one person said something that they didn't like, and then all of a sudden it's a blow up. Marriages fall apart. Kids, you know, I could tell you a story. That there was a kid who got into a fight with his father, and the last words that the kid said to the father, the last words that the father said to the son was, the next time you see me, it will be at my funeral. And kachava. The father passed away at a very young age, shortly after that conversation, and the next time the kid saw him, was at his father's funeral. It's, I don't want to say how many years later, but it's many, many years later, and the trauma of that story is so nicker in the person and the person's whole family, all because of these clashes, because there's no room, people don't have room to take these things in, which all, of course, comes from a lack of sense of self, because if we're very comfortable and confident with who we are, you did something that I don't like. I'm sitting in a situation where mom is like, everything is falling apart around me. Still, a bender, a Baal Musar, is able to maintain control of his own dignity and to respond accordingly. And not just to react, because she's pushing my buttons, or he's pushing my buttons, or this Talmud is pushing my buttons, or that Rebbe is pushing my buttons, I'm uncomfortable. Okay, say there, all of those things might be true, but that's an opportunity for work. The achalta v'savata, yishomer luchem pen yifte levavchem, ein adam merit b'akadosh baruch hu, ala mitach sviyah. Hare sviyah hi matzuf. Hagoyren l'be'ito umorit b'akadosh baruch hu. V'hasoyveh b'vada yechshu b'zeh. Em eino shem enavsho, pen yishova. V'kachashdi v'amarti mi Hashem. So a person understands that from the achalta v'savata, there's a matzuf. It's a matzuf. It's not the etzem thing, it's a matzuf. V'dayzov, kach amr meishol v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom, b'shel kesev v'zov, sheshpat lehem liyisrael, ad sh'amru day, hu garem sh'asu sa egel. Amr d'bei Rav Yanai, ein ari naya mitach kupa shal tevin, ela mitach kupa shal basar. Amr Rav Yochanan, mashal ad mecha, sh'ayel leben, hechitzo v'sicha v'achilu v'eshkiu v'tal l'kis al tzavaro, v'hoshivu al pesach shal zaynis, ma'ya isa ha-ben shal yechte. Person, mamish, you put him on the verge of collapse, and then you give him, like, put him right on the edge, and then you wonder why he falls. Yeah? So Kachlim and Moshe Rabbeinu is Chus HaYisrael. Hamatzav Garilah. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to the Rebbeinu Shem and saying, it's not their fault. There's a matzav over here. There's a matzav. And a person, now of course, again, this is only Mitzchus. It doesn't mean to say that they were putter because there was a matzav. But in a chanami, a person who has certain netiyas, when they're put into a certain matzav, it's come out like they lost their bechira. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over here, what did you want from them? What did you want from them? They were mamish, set up to fail. And of course, coming out of Mitzrayim and being who they are, they had no chance. So therefore, since they didn't have a nekudas habechira over here, how could you possibly hold them responsible?
Contrary to what you're just saying,
right? No, so the point is that we have to be mindful enough. The way I heard it phrased, which I think is an incredible way of saying it, is that we have to take down the emotion to give ourselves back choice. So often, when we're in a situation already, it could be too late for us. So the key is mindfulness. So mindfulness gives us that ability to take down the emotion, to give ourselves back choice. Sometimes, what was that? Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's why it was he didn't have that. He was mamish. That's why the whole thing was emotional for him. Paras malshon arif is taking from the tzadik klipa. The tzadik klipa is always something that's insensitive. Right? The tzadik kedusha is always.
Funny. I was going to say under him. I'm sorry, Mr.
What were you saying?
No, I was going to say that what's the chant that part that the Rosh Hashanah hardened his heart? So the problem is that because of the matzah, people should have no choice.
He
couldn't choose
the matzah. That's true also.
He didn't have the fortitude to take the emotion out so that he could make a choice. And Chozot, he said, I don't want to sell
him. Very interesting. That's true also. I think that's true too. But in general, I think that I'm with you. But in general, I think that the idea here of being in a place of mindfulness. Yeah, that's the opposite of being stiff. In general.
Use that as a limud schus
to the rational. How could you mamish destroy them? How could you wipe them out? So what do you want? They were already in the avada. Of course, what the point Rav Volbe is making here is that a matzav awakens something in a person. So if a person's already mamish, you put them on the verge of disaster, and you know. It's like, you have the fires and everything going on in the kitchen. Maybe I'm thinking of this because of the whole Pesach experience, you know, like everything is constantly, everybody's cooking. And I saw somebody said something, you know, they saw the tea room being taken down in their hotel. They wanted to know if they were going to say Tachnun, you know, because the tea room, Nebuch, is being taken down. You know, what would Pesach be without a tea room? And somebody told me that a little child asked his mommy, can we get a tea room in our house? You know, this is a matzav today. Can we get a tea room in our house? Okay, so, you know, imagine you have all the fires going and everything. And you have a curious little kid who wants to see what's going on, and you know, so they stand up on a chair and the parents aren't paying attention and nobody's, you know, and all of a sudden the kid does something they shouldn't do and Chas V'Shalom gets hurt. You can't blame the child for that. You can't blame the child. There has to be shmira already in place to make sure that doesn't happen. So if the Rebbeinu Shalom put us in that situation. And chanami, obviously, you know, from a Baal Musar perspective, obviously you can always overcome. But the limud zchus that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is like, come on, it's too tough a test that they can pass, and they'll pass it every time. Other rabbi, I heard one of my rabbis said very well. He said, if the Rebbeinu Shalom challenges you, it's either one of two. The way he said it was like this: our talents obligate us to challenge ourselves, and our challenges obligate us to look inside for our talents. A challenge and a talent, people think are two separate things. It's like, I have a talent and I have a challenge. Like, I'm a good basketball player, so let me take the challenge of playing basketball. It's not two separate things. It's the talent and the challenge, mamish, go together. So in the chanami, and Moshe Rabbeinu is a limud zchus over here. But if you have a talent, it's of course that you're going to be challenged in that area, because otherwise it wouldn't be a talent. What would be the expression of that talent? That's like, you know, the Rebbeinu Shalom Kaviyachal created the world, because what would it mean to be a Rebbeinu Shalom without creating the world? So people say, so what does that mean the Rebbeinu Shalom was doing before he created the world? Okay, you don't have to bother me with silly questions. There was no before. There was no before by the Rebbeinu Shalom. But in our understanding of the Rebbeinu Shalom, there's no vision of a Rebbeinu Shalom that's perfect without creating something else. Otherwise, how would he be perfect, you know, meitiv upon others? So it all goes hand in hand. As I said, the chikur biti harbe yayin oisa harbe schoik oisa harbe yaldus oisa harbe shchenim haram oisim ki amatziv imivu dehisa oisim shalmidus. It's certainly true in the realm of arayis. It's certainly true That's why Chazal were so clear with us how we are to be noig when it comes to interaction between, you know, the opposite sex. It's not a joke. It's not something that Chazal were saying like b'derech etzah. Chazal were very, very clear. And a person has to be very aware, and it's not because we're being backwards, and it's not because we're not, you know, sensitive to sexuality. Other Rabbah, we're very sensitive to sexuality because we know that we have a Nefesh HaBahamas, and we know how easily that Nefesh HaBahamas could be awakened. We know the challenges of bringing those machines into our home, and we know, you know, so a person came to me last week on Pesach. A person was talking to me about the fact that they have one of these machines in their home without any shmirah, which is very negligent. And he wanted to know, his son was in the room, and he walked in the room, and he saw that his son was playing with his machine. And so afterwards he went to the search engine to see what his son was searching, and he realized his son was, you know, in his words, becoming a man. Yeah. You know, actualization of the Nefesh HaBahamas. And so he confronted his son, and his son said, "Oh, no, it just popped up. It just popped up." So, you know, and he was knowingly laughing, obviously, it didn't just pop up. And he said, you know, that's what everybody says. That's, you know, that's what I say also. It just popped up. You know, so, what do you want from a person? What do you want? What do you want from a 16-year-old kid who's surrounded by these things all day? And he sees it in television, and he sees it in the movies, and he sees it in the street, and he sees it in the way that people talk. And then there's a machine in the house that has full access to it. It's not like by us. By us, Amol, a person had a little bit of embarrassment. They had to walk into a store, you know, had some store that sold magazines, you know, and you had to pay the guy, the Indian guy behind the counter, you know, an extra like $40 to sell to, you know, to minors. And even then, if he found out, the cops could get him in trouble. Today, what do you want from a kid? A kid can get it free in his pocket, and parents, they're not aware. It's not because they're bad. I don't think anybody's bad. They hand their children these machines. My child needs to be able to be in touch with me. If he's going out, he needs to be able to be in touch with me. Okay, that might be a good reason to have a cell phone. I'm not sure that means he has to have the iPhone 5 with unfiltered internet access, because you're going to wonder why my child has certain images in his head and certain, you know, certain timtum in his life. It's a matzav that it's not possible for a person to deal with. So a person has to be aware, this is who I am, and therefore I have to be able, in a certain sense, to say, maybe this is not something I should enter into. Again, I'm not saying that a person doesn't need these things for business or even for meaningful things. There are plenty of meaningful things that you could do. But to give it to a 12-year-old, what are you thinking? It's not shayach. It's not shayach that a 12-year-old is going to be able to overcome that. It's not shayach for many 18-year-olds to overcome that. You know, we all know the stories of people that their lives and their marriages have been ruined by these types of addictions. Again, I'm not saying the answer is that nobody should have anything. It's today not a reality that you can't have anything. But that a person should be responsible with it. And what does responsible mean? You know, it's like parents that say, well, you know, we have a television in our house, but we know what our children are watching. No, you don't. You have no idea what your children are watching. I don't mean to say that in a bad way. I'm sure everybody's wonderful. I'm sure everybody's doing their best. But it's not possible that you're home 24/7 and that you're constantly reviewing what's being watched. I know, because I speak to the kids. I was talking to a kid, half an hour ago, he's talking to his father about coming back to Eretz Yisrael. This is a kid, today, a wonderful, wonderful Ben Torah, sitting in Beis Medrash, steiging, unbelievable. His davening has improved, so many things have improved. His parents don't want to let him come back to Eretz Yisrael for a second year. So part of the reason they don't want him to is because they don't think he needs it. Part of the reason they don't think he needs it is because this kid was mamish an unbelievable, you know, he was the best, sneakiest kid, and his parents, mamish, had no idea who he was. So I said to him, I said, maybe you should tell your parents a little bit about, not, you don't have to go tell them all your dirty laundry, but maybe tell them a little bit about who you were, so that maybe they'll see this is important. But he can't. He's not capable of having an honest conversation with them. There's too much judgmentalism, there's too much, and the kid, I'm not blaming the parents, but the kid, the situations that he was describing he was in, I don't know anybody that could withstand such situations. I'm a situation with all sorts of women and all sorts of things. It's lunacy. How could a person survive that? So, Adarabba, we have to take responsibility for our situations, but we also have to take responsibility for the fact that maybe we ought not to be in those situations. We have to know what we can and can't handle. And that, again, that doesn't mean that we're closing our eyes and we're not, you know, living at all in the outside world. It means we're trying our best to negotiate a very narrow shatach. It's a very narrow shatach. And I think Rav Volbi here is making the point that I think is very important for all of us to understand what we can and we can't handle. And know who you are. Know who you are. So other Rabbah, don't blame the situation. Don't blame the situation, but you have to be very aware of the situation. Okay. Lam anu tzrichim letzroch lehavchin b'maaseinu lekvo kolam ketzad makirim es hamidos mistadaros me'achorei ma'isim v'shitos m'mnei sha'akochos v'hamidos nimtzam b'nafshenu v'amak rav v'api rov einene yoda mehen v'afilu b'simas lev meruba einene matzrichim tamid legalos hamidos ha'poelos banu b'maaseinu im lo neschakem limso derechem list lehevchanasa. Why do we have to spend so much time trying to understand all these things that we've spent so many weeks now? Baruch Hashem, so many weeks that we've been getting together to work on ourselves. But why did we have to do all this? Because mostly a person does not know himself. And even when he's mamish focused on himself, who says that he really understands what's going on? He mamish have to be a very big chacham to understand what's going on inside of a person. Like the story of the Alter Slabodka. The Alter Slabodka went to get a surgery. He had to have a surgery. There were two places that he could have the surgery. I told you this. That's what I'm saying. Why did he choose one place over the other? It's because of the push-button umbrella. Because of the push-button umbrella. As if that's why he went to have the surgery there. What was the altar really saying? I have no idea why I chose that place. How could I possibly know? Things are going on all the time that we have no idea. You know, when a person actually does the inner child work, the things that come up, that's not even this push of things you don't even know are cooking inside of you. A person is so deep, a person is so vast. How can we do something about this? Ella, penis kesem. You have to shine a light on it. You have to really shine a light on these things. When a person comes and they think they came to an empty place in the Torah, understand that it's not because the Torah chas v'shalom is reik, it's because you're reik. Something is empty inside of you. That penis kesem is telling you, it's shining a light inside of you and saying, it's not the Torah, it's you. There's something going on inside of you. So he brings here a beautiful mashal that usually, you know, we want to do things with a certain amount of feeling. You have a big lamdan. And, okay, so usually, you know, you're sitting and learning a black Gemara, it's not the easiest thing to learn it beregesh, you know. You're sitting and learning a sugya, you know, in ksuvas, you know, bab metzia, you know. And two people are holding onto a talis. It's not really a sugya that you could learn with tremendous regesh. But then you come to a beautiful agadita, and you ought to be learning with regesh. And all of a sudden, this lamdan feels like he ought to be feeling something here, but somehow he's not feeling anything. So that is the opportunity of the Baal Musar, because now something is being revealed, that flashlight is being shined on him, and it's an awesome opportunity to introspect. That's the only way you're going to be able to come to what's really going on, is to reflect inwardly. And Rashi says, there was taka in a very small way. There was a little bit of sinna. And never in a million years would they have recognized this. You're talking about kedushim elyonim, the people that were in the midbar. This is dardeya. This is not a small door. But there was that sinna. That sinna was being revealed. And Bilvavam behepich, v'amru she'Hashem Yisbarach sonei osam. He'eminu b'kach, v'sivlu mizet sar nara. They believed it. They believed that the Rebbeinu Shalom hated them. They believed it. Really, what was it? That was just the fact that really inside of them they had a shtickle hate for the Rebbeinu Shalom. The dam alehem ki heim o'avim es Hashem Yisbarach v'sho'afim alav b'chol libam. What are you talking about? We hate Hashem? We love Hashem. V'rak mishum ma'akadosh baruch hu'enim b'chayin resam oed. Hister panav mehen. V'danosan le'ashmada. V'ilamam choshuch ba'adam. V'hinei kol hatzar hazeh. V'achzov ha'nera. V'pachad mavas kazeh. Hevev l'shov. Ein kan loisin es Hashem. Shmada v'Hashem Yisbarach o'ezom mekelem av gemura. They really, really thought the Rebbeinu Shalom hates us. And another Abba, the Rebbeinu Shalom loves you more than you could possibly imagine in a way that is totally unconditional, that is totally inhuman. No human can love another unconditionally. Your mother gets close. Yeah, the Rebbeinu Shalom has a mamish, an unbelievable love. How did they come and turn that around? Because really, it was something that's happening inside of them. In psychology, we know what this word is called. It's called projection. Yeah, I'm really projecting onto another. When you're projecting onto another, that's a good opportunity for you to realize what's really going on inside of you. So adarabba, if you find yourself hating somebody, ask yourself, what is going on over here? That person, they mamish hate me. Do they hate you? Did they really even do anything to you? A lot of times the answer is no. And you should know, it's interesting, because when you start to really work these things out, you realize that a lot of times the emotions that you think you're feeling, you're not even... Like, for example, we unfortunately, in these last minutes before Mashiach, one of the last birth pangs is this terrible, terrible sinah that's going on right now, right? But a person who really looks at this sinah from an intelligent place understands that this is not sinah. Why are we fighting like this? You only fight like that when you love each other. Nobody who truly hates another person would have this much interaction. We mamish can't stand each other. Yeah, which means we mamish love each other. Only brothers, yeah, and I can give an example from my daughters. When my daughters drive each other crazy, so they, you know, little boys will beat each other up, they'll punch each other. It's very obvious, yeah. Little girls, they say nasty things and they pinch each other. You know, so it's like I'm like looking at them sometimes pinching each other. I turn to them like, what is that? Like I'm, you know, as a male, I'm like, why don't you just punch her in the face? You know, like that makes sense to me. You know, put her down for the count. What is giving her an eating disorder help? You know, like that's, you know, like, so you know, and you see these pinch. They take their tiny little fingers and they pinch. Like, what are you doing already? Boys, I understand. Girls, I bechlal don't understand. That's why my wife understands a little bit better. So maybe they have some chance of success, but the. Why do they do that? Why do they drive each other up, you know, up the wall like that? It's not because they're living under the same roof. It's because they're sisters. We expect more. We expect more from our family. So, Adar Abba, I love you so much. How could you treat me that way? That's what's really going on over here. All this, what looks like hate, is mamish, the deepest love. Adar Abba, it reveals the fact that they're sitting and arguing, you're a yid, how could you be acting like that? On both sides, yeah? On both sides, you're a Yid, how could you be acting like that? That's what both sides are saying. Yeah, do you realize how much that's revealing the Yiddishkeit of both sides? Both of us are saying, we're so Jewish. Yeah, and what looks like hate is really nothing to do with the other person. It's really what's going on inside of us. So Adar Abba, you think they hate you? They don't hate you. You hate them. And you don't even really hate them. You really, really love them. You just have no idea how to express it. So the only way you know how to express it is with anger and confusion and disappointment. These are things that, okay, Baruch Hashem, we're working it out, we're getting closer, but as soon as Mashiach comes, the whole thing is, it's going to be very easy to switch. Other Rabbi, if you have a couple that has nothing to do with each other, to get them to come back together, that's very, very hard. If you have a couple that's mamish fighting with each other tooth and nail, okay, this just needs to be a little bit redirected. But the Iker point here, which Revolbi is making, is you look at them and you mamish think the situation is they hate you just like these people mamish thought the Rebbeinu Shalom hated them. The Rebbeinu Shalom did not hate them. How could the Rebbeinu Shalom even do that? Really, it's going on inside of yourself. It's called your stuff. It's not the other person's stuff. It's your stuff. Nifsak lahalacha, perkutas ma'isiribia, halachi yazayin, v'chala paisal asacherim, tamid kagayin, shenaisen shemes b'mishpacha, esav b'yachidim, v'ayim ra'alayim sheim mamzerim, chayshun lo'y shem mamzerhu, the Rambam says. Imagine such a thing? A person who's managed going around all the time saying you're a mamzer, you're a mamzer, you're a mamzer. You guy must be a mamzer. You gotta really be concerned. What is driving you to find all these mamzerim? And I'm sure if you go to that guy, by the way, and say, what are you doing? He says, me, I'm doing a service to Klal Yisrael. I'm the mamzer. I'm the mamzer agent, yeah, for the FBI to go around, you know, to find all the mamzerim. The guy mamzer thinks he's a tzaddik. It could be that he's a mamzer. The amar lehem shem avadim, chayshin lo shem ha'evad hu, shakol ha'paisel b'mum ha'paisel. B'vadei lo yeda ha'paisel ha'za mum. The guy, it's not like he knows, he doesn't know. Ki ilu yadav zohar oso hayin nimnim la'azkira al-acherim, b'chdei shlo yizgal ha'klonohu. Nobody would want to go, yeah, that guy's a mamzer, that guy's a mamzer, that guy's a mamzer, because you know, well, somebody's going to turn that and go, maybe you're a mamzer. He pashut doesn't know. Oshlo yadav me'olam, ha'shishachach l'gamri es mumo. Either he never knew, or sometimes people have a crazy thing that they mamzer forget the MS. But deep in the secrets of the person's heart, but the moon nevertheless is there. It's present and it's real. So that's what the penis kesem does. The penis kesem tells you this is what you have to work on. So nizgala b'ze netia pnimis lahakrin likuyim v'ragshos nafshiyam al achirim ilo zois aleinu les yachis bebekoriz v'choshad el kol ha-mishpatim ha-shlilim shanu chortzim al mashim achutzolanu ki yitochen sha-shlil ha-zois penimiyasi v'ne'utza besisrei shechus nasho v'rach penis ha-kesem ha-nafshi hira oisam b'mashim achutzolanasho. These things are embedded so deep inside of us that there's no way we would be ever be able to see them. That's why these things happen. That's the gift that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us. That's this flashlight. This flashlight is, these things are so deep inside of me, how would I ever find it? The Teretz is that it's being brought out in a way that's outside of us. In Nishkol ma'amachbir aleinu yoyser, hargosha sha'ilam masviv lanu avim v'soinai, pasul v'reik, oya ha'kar sh'likuyim v'rakshos ke'ilam mekanan im bekerbeinu, v'sviv v'soinu, ein zachar mikol zeh, v'adai sh'apenas ha'kesem, machbir aleinu, v'machshach lanu es o'ilam ha'mamish, ki miyuch ha'lachayos la'arach ba'ilam chashod, malay sh'lila. So it's an unbelievable thing that happens. This penis kesem, yeah, it mamish darkens the whole world, because who could possibly live like that? Because all the time their mamish going to be seeing flaws in themselves. Uberegash and Azgalonu ki ain kolash lila hazois ella matzavenu hapnimi, sara siachal ella maoyim, inu chayim shuv ba'olam bahir, elishan Azgalonu yedia amuka latzmenu. But if the world for a second, if the world is illuminated and all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, yeah, the whole world is not out to get me. All of a sudden everything becomes clear. And it's true now, I've got a lot to work on. But now the depths of what's going on have been revealed. So what's better? It's a person to live with this choshech of lack of knowledge of what's going on in their life, to think that they're mamish surrounded by enemy. And you see these people, you talk to these people, they think that they're mamish being attacked from all sides. Yeah, I see it with guys in yeshiva. Everybody hates me. Not everybody hates you. Don't you? I have no friends. I've never had a friend in my life. Yeah, it's interesting. You've never had a friend in your whole life? Is it literally because every person in the world is so evil? Is it every person in the world is so evil? No, not every person is so evil. This is the Rebbeinu Shalom's way of bringing out that deepest depth inside of you to create clarity in your life so you could work on it. Miza einu nota lahashem achirim ba'ad kishlonosof. Rak bardas yesh lahom etz lahoydes ki hu asham b'chishlono. Uvizesh megalo asivas hakishlon ba'asma hu lomid leizar me'lahashalot. That's why, like we say, I see it happening outside of myself, so I can turn it inwards. That's what an intelligent person does. I don't go around blaming everybody else. I don't go around looking at everybody else and saying nasty things about everybody else. I recognize these things are coming from within, and it's an opportunity. That which I'm looking at everybody else and finding the flaws in everybody else is really emanating from within me. Hatahalichim shanu donam aleim misnalim besisrei nefesh al lanu lachshov shebechitut ma betoch erhurei libenu anu megalim kvar es kol ma shemisrachish ba'emek harav shel yitzrei ma'al le'ish ve'alivus matzad ha'gever ha'ma'amakim hem koyet nestorim shafilu lisonenu eina bekoch lahagi aleim milim v'yediya gredo einan mashpias ba'emek zeh ve'gam ein lekel yodon la'alus misham dover bar.
Hashba
Kol oy lo higanu legilei einayim teches palis mehemis rachish v'kerbenu lo hayo lanu haperek hazeh. There's such a thing called hispilus. We have to talk about hispilus. Hispilus is the biggest deal in the world. We don't have so much time left tonight to start to get into hispilus. Maybe it's kedai to wait for next time. But suffice it, we'll leave with this and we'll finish off. We'll start the next parak already next time. But the idea that when a person, if you're not coming from a place, what's a good English word for hispilus? There's no good English word for hispilus. Hispilus, an excitement, but it's deeper than excitement. It's something that it's like a very authentic feeling of like being moved. That's really weakening. What was that?
Awakening.
Yeah, that's more what it is. But there's like such an energy that comes with it. It's an unbelievable thing. It's like when you discover the world for the first time. You know, it's like when all of a sudden you realize like I am capable, and there's like such a hispilus there. You know, like a rebbe came to you and showed you something, and it was like mamash, like he took the blindfolds off. So when a person comes with something that's, you know, that they're awakened to something in their lave, that's how you know when it's true. When there's a hispilus that comes along with it. If it doesn't come with that hispilus, so then it's not true, is it? You get excited about it. There's a hispilus when you know that something's coming up, and when you feel it coming up, and when you experience it, and even when you become even just aware of it, it is a certain exciting feeling that's coming. That's how you know that it has that Shemitz of Emes. And what Revolbi is touching on here is it's so difficult, even with all the work that we're doing, and this work will never really stop. Like, I think I told the story once or twice already about Revolbi, that he said about Ali Shur, somebody asked him how to learn it. He said, go through the first chelek, and then I go through the second chelek, and then chazah the first chelek, and then chazah the second chelek. And what do I do after that? He said, then go through the first chelek again, and chazah, go through the second chelek again, and then chazah. It's okay, Rabbi, but what do I do after that? He goes, oh, then you'll be dead. So this is to understand the depth of a person. You can't learn that from a sefer, and that is our life's work. For most of us, for the next, you know, God willing, at 120, that's what we're going to be dealing with. We're going to be sitting and working out these issues. I know. So I was talking to a therapist a couple of months ago. He told me he's dealing with a couple that are in their 70s, and they're uncovering issues from when they were 3 and 4 and 5 years old. A couple in their 70s, and they said we only have, you know, realistically in their heads, they only probably have, again, this is what they're saying, you know, maybe, hopefully another 20, 25 years in the world. Hopefully they'll have more. But they said we want to at least, you know, we blew 70. But let's at least have the last 20-25. You know, imagine what a terrible thing that is for a person to say. And even, I'm telling you, even I was talking to my Rebbe, you know, his Kanina Har in his mid-80s, he's still working on himself. We're never going to stop working on ourselves. So how do we know? How do we know? A person is so deep, how do we know? When it comes with a hispilus, so then you know that it's true. Mikan chizuk l'tfiyas Rabbeinu Hagaon Yisrael Salanter l'mod musar b'hispilus dafka. That's why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wanted a person that when he learns musar, he should learn it with hispilus. Musar is not something that you just read a book. And you go to the real yeshivas and they have a real musar seder with a real mashgiach that's being mashgiach on the musar seder. Yeah, remember that Rabbi Yisrael wanted to have a separate base medrash for musar. You know, but there's a niggin to it, and they sing it, and it's learned with hispilus. They're not just reading the sefer; they're mamish going through it. Rav Shmulevitz told me that when he was in Mir, they used to have this niggun for learning Mesilas Yesharim, and they would learn Mesilas Yesharim already from the copy page, you know, with the copyright. They would there was like a mesira of even learning the copy page. That's how they would learn Musar. There was a certain hespilus that came along with it. When you learn it with that excitement, and you feel it, and you can generate that excitement, that's when it becomes real. Heshel Ovid, any mafkin. Amalei Shema Ila Matzasa B. Your actions. That's what moves you closer. That's what moves you farther. Ein moel lo behim latzos v'lo v'kudos l'tayvas adam. Rak ma'isur shel adam atzma mekayvim amar chakim osa. So what are your actions doing? Are they bringing you closer? Are they bringing you farther? Zeh ha'noisev einav l'hishtalus acherim avuro. B'gdei she'acherim yirkevu osa. Harei penasas kasem apnimi. Mara lo esibas hatzlachasu b'chutz. Eitzel acherim. Va'alav l'umot od chachmas achayim. Ki ach v'rak ma'asav yikavu. It comes from within. So that's the biggest. Again, these are very, very, very hard in Yanim to understand. But the idea, and to be very honest, even my, I've gone through these pieces. You go through it 20, 30, 40 times. You're always going to gain new insights. Very, very difficult to understand. But to understand. You know all of these things. At the end of the day, the penis kesem is turning it inside. It's turning it inside of you. And you understand that that which looks like it's coming from the chutz, it's you that did it. It's you. Your actions are what created that situation. So stop blaming other people for it. It's not. But that person, they ran away. They didn't run away from you. They didn't run away from you, and they didn't stop and come closer to you. It's what we do and how we engage that very often determines the nature of the matzav that we find ourselves in. So again, it all goes back to being mindful. It all goes back to the idea that we find ourselves in situations. Let's stop putting the blame on others. Let's stop focusing on what other people do and recognize what we are contributing to these situations. A person comes, and as we just finished this piece on Das Atzmeinu, we've been working on for so many months now. Imagine if we were able to actually employ all of these things in our life. A person would live a much happier life. All of the terrible things that are happening all around us, they're not happening to us. They're things that are there as opportunities for our own growth. So, Yiratzon, as we finish up, that we should be able to keep moving into Ma'arach HaShniya, keep moving so that we'll be able, Mirtz Hashem, to really have the schus of what it means to live a life of a Ben Aliyah.